Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Give me your eyes, Lord, give me your eyes so I can see for everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your heart.
Hi, welcome to Life Matters. This is Mariah Wilde. I hope you had a great day. Boy, I sure did, although it was very hectic, and sometimes my days go so fast that the first time I really get to kind of go, is when I'm here with you on the radio and get to relax for a little bit and share my heart. And our hope is to inspire you to move on in your life, to press on and to do great things. So I'm excited about tonight. We have a special guest, Chadwick Sappinter. He's been with us before. A little book that all fall into. There are statistics that show that many of the homeless people, many on drugs, are those that were foster children that were never adopted, never really brought in and enfolded into a family. Instead, maybe they were staying somewhere. They might have been living with a family, but it may have been one of those foster families that were just like, okay, you're filling the bed. Oh, you're 18. You're out of here. Who's coming? And I want to tell you, that is not what our Family Link foster parents are like. Our parents, when you come, you become part of the family. We have not one time, and I'm really happy about this, in 4 years and about 600 children, they're spiritually or emotionally adopt them in the sense that this child, this teenager, knows they will always have this family. Maybe they don't have the same last name, but this family will be with them for them forever. And you know that you can actually stay in foster care until you're about 21, 22 if you're in school and there's some other parameters. So that's wonderful because I don't know really any 18-year-old who's truly ready to live on their own. And I know some go off to dorms and this and that, but you know, I look back even when I was 18, and of course I thought it was so old and mature. And I did have my real estate license, and people were using me for the most expensive purchase probably of their life, which I look back, and that's kind of
cool. Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see.
Hi, welcome to Life Matters. Well, that was a little exciting. I have to tell you guys that the electricity went out, could not do a live show, and I'm like so disappointed. We have an exciting show to do tonight. So if you've been listening, you're probably going, what the heck is going on? That was an intro for a different show. We had to pick one out of the blue to put on right away. And then wouldn't you know it, a couple of minutes after we should have started, the electricity came back on. Now that is an answer to
prayer. It may seem like just...
Because I was looking and asking, God, would you get this electricity working? We have a great show. I'm looking forward to it tonight, but I'm not really sure why it came on at 7:32 or so, but that's better than never. So anyways, I'm excited to be back with you guys live tonight. Gosh, we had an amazing weekend and an incredible Monday. Mondays are always like that. I like doing live shows on Mondays to give you guys an update. I'll start off with Saturday. We had our Family Link Foster Children Retreat Day. That was so fun. In the month of June, we figured out that we had placed so far 52 children just in June. And the month isn't even over. Isn't that amazing? So some of those children were there with us at our retreat day, swimming, doing arts and crafts. Hope in the City came and did the majority of the volunteer work, which was really fantastic. They cooked barbecue. They did the arts and crafts with the kids. They held babies and toddlers, and it was so much fun. it's amazing. Some of the children I've known for years, and they came in as foster children, and they're now adopted, and I got to get to see them grow up, and that's always so exciting. I get to see some of them once or twice a month. Then others are brand new kids that had just come a couple of days ago. One set of children came from Houston, and they're a baby and a two-year-old. Like, oh, I tell you what, that little two-year-old, he reminded me of Huckleberry Finn, little strawberry blonde hair and blue eyes. And I could just see him with a straw hat and his little fishing pole. And they came all the way from Houston because the Houston area foster families are full. That is still so amazing to me. It's a crisis. It should be on the news. It's a big deal. When you have a city as large and huge and incredible need as Houston, and they're coming all the way to Austin and even Wimberley and San Marcos. That's incredible. You know, we've already been busy with the San Antonio children and the Austin children and Colleen, you know, in just for this area. So now we're trying to find the Houston children homes too, and we're doing a pretty good job so far, thanks to our Family Link families. In fact, last night we had a 2 and 3 year old join us from Houston also. I haven't met them yet, but I heard they're doing really well. And then we also have a brand new baby. He's 2 months old. Oh my goodness. Already has fractures and has really been hurt. But he went to our amazing foster moms probably about an hour or so ago. And so I can't wait to see some pictures of our newest little guy. But I still am, you know, I'm just kind of dumbfounded. I cannot believe that all the way between Houston and the Austin area, not a family for him. And so that lets you know what incredible need we are for foster and adoptive families. We need you. We need your friends. We need you to be an advocate. Our next training is July 10th and 17th. At that time, it's an incredible opportunity to learn about foster care and adoption, but also if you're interested in being a mentor or a volunteer, it really gives you that full picture of what the children have gone through, what's FamilyLink's part in it, and how you can be equipped to help us. So let's see, what else happened? Oh, my cousin got married. So here we were all day Saturday with our FamilyLink families and children. That was awesome. The last family left around 6, and you know what? The wedding started at 6:30. So we ran to the UT Golf Club, and it was a beautiful wedding. And I got to see my cousin, but several of my aunts and uncles I haven't seen in a while. That was so special. I went from my FamilyLink family, who do feel like family to me, then straight to my biological family, and that was awesome. And then on Sunday, we were invited to do a presentation at Life Point Church. Oh my goodness. You know, I wish when I lived in South Austin I knew about this church, because they had such a response to the children that need families. Their hearts were just so kind and tender. A few people cried. Others just said, you know, I really, really have had this on my heart, and I want to do this with you guys. And some are even coming to training, which is amazing. And we are wanting you to help us be an advocate at your church. So if your church is interested, you know, we need families from your church, from your community. If you're part of a Rotary Club, especially with the crisis that Houston is in, you know, we were already in a crisis, and with the amount of children needing foster and adoptive homes. But now we are in much bigger, bigger crisis. So I'm looking for advocates for children, and I'm also looking for families for children. And speaking of a family for children, hang on real quick, because I have to text somebody about a family. Let's see here. Hold on. See, it's when it's a live show. You never know. Tonight we're going to be working on some other children, it looks like. Hang on. Getting here in just a second. Okay, fantastic. Anyway, so looks like we'll be working on a couple of children this evening, and we did also have an 18-month-old come today, and I'm very excited about seeing that little baby. So lots of babies, lots of little ones, and an amazing time. So, sorry, I'm distracted. Anytime we have a placement request, that takes all my attention, as you can very much imagine. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to be with one of our FamilyLink foster families with four children, and we're going to tell you all about them. Y'all have been listening to Life Matters on The Word, 98.5 and 99.3. Check us out at FamilyLinkKids.com, and for updates, friend me on Facebook at Mariah Wilde FamilyLink. We'll be right back.
Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see.
It may seem like just another day on the roadways. Yep, another day headed home. But suddenly, out of nowhere, a driver reaches for his cell phone, and coated with distraction, they decide to add a dab of color to your rear bumper. Followed by an eruption of distress, you feel taken advantage of, left in the dark with no sign of sunshine. You sit stern in your seat, anticipating the next step.
Whitaker's Auto Body and Paint, trusted, respected for 20 years. Surrounded by auto body professionals who know how to mend any situation with excellence. Equipped with state-of-the-art facilities, including a paint booth that is one of a kind in Austin. Whitaker's is centrally located for your needs and is even iCar Gold Class certified with a reputation for quality and speed of delivery. Whitaker's is in partnership with most insurance companies, so they give you peace of mind. They're fighting to protect your automotive investment. Whitaker's Auto Body and Paint with two locations. 2019 South Lamar and Pheasant Lane and 620 in Lakeway. Log on to whitakersautobodyandpaint.com for phone numbers and directions.
whitakersautobodyandpaint.com.
Oh no! Man, the toilet's overflowing.
Where's Johnny Reuter when we need him?
In an average home, many things can go wrong, one of which is your plumbing. Toilets overflow, disposals clog, shower heads burst, possibly causing a slab leak or mold, any of which can wreak havoc on your home and become a nightmare. This time of the season, you can't afford to have plumbing problems with family and friends coming. So from general routine plumbing to special plumbing repairs, you need a reliable go-to company like Johnny Reuter Plumbing. Johnny and his crew are honest, trustworthy, and you can feel good about having them in your home. Johnny Reuter Plumbing and his professional team have been serving Austin and Central Texas for over 35 years. Johnny Elsey believes every customer deserves red carpet treatment. That's why they literally roll out a red carpet. So for fast, friendly, and professional service, call 452-6646. What others mess up, they fix up. That's Johnny Reuter Plumbing at 452-6646. Or log on to JohnnyReuter.com.
Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see.
Hi, welcome back to Life Matters. Okay, I think we have our placement situated. If you've joined us from the beginning, you may know that we had a technical difficulty because the lightning took out our electricity and we couldn't do a live show. But you know what the good news is? I think we're good. Of course, with the live show, you never know. But I'm happy to be here with you. I'm so happy that you're listening. And I'm really excited to introduce you to our special guest tonight. You know, I remember this family from the very beginning. And you know what? That wasn't even very long ago. It was a few months ago. So they're going to share with us tonight what it's like to go from just having a dream of being a parent, and then moving into that being a reality. And you know what? They didn't just go start off with one. No, sirree. They started off their first children in their entire lives. Four children under four. Isn't that amazing? And I'm so excited they came on Saturday and I got to meet every single one of them, and they were so beautiful and so precious. And this family just seems so natural. I mean, you know, you might think if you went from zero children to four children under four, your hair would be all crazy and you're all exhausted and I'm thinking, can I do this? But no, they just are doing it and loving these children with incredible grace. And we just thought they'd be a perfect guest to share with us how on earth they are doing it. So I want to welcome you, Jamie. Welcome you to the show. We're so excited and I appreciate you taking your time out to being with us tonight.
Thank you, Mariah.
And your children were so beautiful. Oh, my goodness. And I love your little 2.5-year-old when she, like, smiles and she scrunches up her cute little face.
She is adorable. She smiles all the time.
Oh, that is a blessing. And, you know, we're gonna need to come up with nicknames. And with four kids, that might be hard for you. Do you have any it's going to be hard to keep straight. You're like, I'm just learning their real names. So whatever you know, cute names you want to pick, you've got, I guess, three boy names and one girl name, right? You need to
yes.
come up with. Okay. And I'll follow you. I'll figure out who you're talking about. And so let's start from the beginning. First of all, how did you find out about Family Link?
I found out about Family Link through a friend of ours who also went through you guys and did a foster to adopt placement. I think she got her little guy about 18 months ago, and we were thinking about fostering and fostering to adopt. We were going to go through, you know, directly through CPS and the state, and we were at church one day, and we got to talking, and she was like, oh, no, I have to give you this green card. And I looked at it, and it was y'all's business card, and then I got online when I got home from church and started the process.
That's awesome. Well, we're so glad you did. You know, it's always amazing to me to think about, you know, like if your friend, it was Heather, right?
Yes.
If your friend hadn't taken the time to give it to you, gosh, these four little children definitely would not be with you today. Isn't that amazing to think? And I hope that encourages those that are out there who either are, or even if they're not foster parents, if you had been the one, didn't cost you anything, but just said, oh, hey, you know, this agency has a lot of children that needs homes. And then if the person actually takes you up on it and follows through, you are part of the reason that children have a safe and loving home. I mean, to me, that's amazing.
It is.
You know what I mean? And so you called and you began the process. And so you were thinking about it, but what even led you in the direction of considering foster care and adoption?
It's actually a really long story, and it starts about 12 and a half years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I have a adopted sister who was, a foster placement at first. And you know, she's just been, she's truly the light of my life. She came to us when she was 3 months old, and she had been a crack baby and had minor fetal alcohol syndrome. But God is a big God, and she doesn't have any side effects from either of those things. She's very bright, very intelligent. But I knew from the moment that she came in to our home when I was 16 that was something that I eventually wanted to do myself.
Wow, so you were 16 when your parents became foster parents, and then she came as a baby?
Mm-hmm. She sure did, 3 months old.
Oh my goodness, that reminds me of me when my parents became foster parents. So I bet you were just like that. You were their right-hand girl, huh? And probably helped take care of her and got
her attached. I was very attached to her, and I kind of felt like I was her mother because my mom worked and my dad worked. So in the evenings, of course, I was in high school, but I was in my final year of high school, so I had a lot of time off. I only took like one or two classes, and when she was up at night, you know, basically going through her withdrawals from the drugs and alcohol, she would just scream, and I knew my mom and dad couldn't be up all night because they had to work, and I would go in and I would rock her and hold her and sing to her, and we just have a really special bond because of that.
Yes, you do. You know, and I remember we had preemie babies as when my parents were foster parents, and probably similar. My mom was so tired, and I was, when you're a teenager, really, you don't even need that much sleep.
No, you don't.
You might like it, but you don't have to have it. And I do. I remember the same thing, just holding that baby at 2 o'clock in the morning, feeding him or her, and you get so attached so fast. I mean, really, within just a few days, they were just like, I love you. And I think it's because they're just relying on you for everything, and they're so innocent and tiny, and you bond so quickly. And so I bet you were incredibly excited when you found out that your family was going to be able to adopt her. How old was she when you found out?
It actually took a while. My parents didn't actually get to adopt her till she was almost 6 years old.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
But it was actually kind of like a merry-go-round, because there was a couple of times where the court, you know, the mom went to rehab and did things that she was supposed to do. And so the court let my little sister go back to her a couple of times. But every time they removed her from her mother, she came back to us. So it was like a six-year process, but, you know, it was finally over with. When she was 6 years old, we were able to permanently have her in our home.
Well, that must have been really terrifying for you and for her and for your parents. Now, I have good news, because some people who are listening might be thinking, I'm not really sure if I could go through that 6 years of just not knowing and not knowing for the child. But I do have great news, and that is that in Texas, the laws have changed, and this is really, really wonderful for children. And everyone began to realize that children should not grow up with the uncertainty of, where will I live? Will these be my parents? Will I go home? And children were growing up in foster care and then aging out and being out in the big world by themselves. So now parents have about a year to complete their service plan that CPS and the judge puts them on. And within that time frame, if they don't do it, then the rights are begin to look at it being terminated, or if they're close, then they usually can get a six-month extension. And so that's good. You know, it's parents, they generally do not have their children removed from them unless it's something extremely serious in a very, very bad situation. And so letting the children just linger and not know in foster care and bond with new parents. And when they're young, they believe, these are my parents. They don't even really remember oftentimes the other parents. And so I'm so grateful that Texas has changed that. I personally think a year and a half is kind of a long time. I think we should pretty much usually stick to that year. That's long enough. But anyway, so now that wouldn't happen to your sister. But thank God that by age six, she was able to have that permanency and have a family, have that security.
Yes.
And I bet she must be like, whew, you know.
She's, you know, sometimes people are scared. I know this was a fear that I had. Some people are scared, you know, that the kids will, you know, detach from their foster family, or, you know, feel like a sense of abandonment as they get older, knowing that, you know, oh, well, my birth mother didn't want to take care of me, or something of that nature. But she is a very, you know, she's 12 and a half, but she is very grateful, and she tells us every day, thank you for giving me a good home. Thank you for loving me. And that makes it all worth it. Mm-hmm. Even the struggles, it makes it all worth it.
For sure. And so you said she's really smart and just seems like she's a happy girl. And where does your family live? Do they live close by?
They do. That's another blessing that my husband and I have. My entire family is within about 10 miles of
that's
us.
Awesome.
So they are a very large support group for us. And my husband's family is spread out all over, but my family is centrally located here. And, you know, I just don't know how I would do it without them. They're my biggest cheerleaders, and they pray for us daily, and they love these babies.
I bet your sister at that age, I remember being 12. Oh my goodness, you just love babies. I bet she's a great little helper, huh?
She is, and she does love them. Every time we go over to my parents to see them, she gets excited, and she's like, oh, do you need help getting them out of the car? Do you need help getting them back to the car? Do you need help taking them in the pool? She likes to swim with them. And
you're like, actually, I do need help, because they are all really little.
Yes, they are.
And they're so cute. You know, that's what I was talking to Kelly, or who was, I think it was Kelly. No, it was Nicole. I was talking to Nicole on Saturday, one of our brand new foster moms, who, by the way, is getting a two-month-old baby tonight. So I was visiting with her, and she said, gosh, look at these kids. I mean, there's, you know, four of them. And then I said, I know, it's different, isn't it, when we say, oh, would you like to have a sibling group of four? And most people are going, four? Oh, my gosh, how can I do it? But then you see them, like she got to see these little children, and she said, wow, it's just different. Well, you see each one of them.
Yeah.
For somehow when you see them, it doesn't seem as overwhelming, which is maybe different than what most people think. But she even said, well, yeah, which one would you not take? Like, oh, okay, yeah, I can only do three, so I think I won't take that one. Or I can only do two, so I don't think I'll take those two. But when you see them together, I personally think it seems doable. It's like, oh, it's these little children, and then they smile at you, and it's just amazing. But, you know, you were the only one that could keep them together. At the time that you took them, we didn't have anybody else. Nobody else was going to keep them. And what was going to happen is they would have been split in two and two. And so isn't that, like, crazy for you to think about, if they were in two different homes? Because I can see them. They love each other. They're close to each other.
They do love each other. And they're, you know, I say they're inseparable. I think they were separated for like 2 weeks prior to coming to our home, but you could just see the joy on their faces when they all got here. They were together and they were hugging each other and kissing on each other, and I love you, sister. I love you, brother.
Aww, and they were like, oh, my little compadre is back. So in that case, you guys reunified them just like the Siouxes did. You know, they had the five, and they were all separated, and they came back together. So it sounds like they came together with you, and that must be a really amazing feeling, you know?
It is. When we actually got the phone call about them, that is actually what really grabbed my heart. And I was like, oh, if they're separated, yes, we have to do it. We have to get them together. They can't be separated. And I think it's because, you know, I thought about, had anything happened to my parents or had we been taken from my parents when I was younger, I would not have been able to function well without my sisters. And I was just like, I can't imagine what my life would be without my siblings, so I can't imagine what their life would be like because they're so young and that's all they know.
Yes. That's true. And then there's also the fact that right now they would be grieving, oh my goodness, and crying for each other. But then on the other hand, you also have when they grow older, just like how you have you're an adult and how you have a relationship with your siblings. And if you live separately and you grew up separately, you just don't have that. But these kids are meant to be best friends.
Right.
They're meant to, when they get older, that their children are cousins and that they support each other. And so it affects them now, but it also would greatly affect them as they grow older. And just to know that half of you is somewhere else, you know? And so I think that that's something that we have to just be aware of. And it's one of my greatest joys is to keep siblings together. And so I'm just very, very, very excited that you guys have done it. So let's go back to training. So there you were. Your friend introduced you to Family Link, and you said, yes, that's the agency for me. And I have to mention that we don't even have an office in Killeen, that we have families drive from all over, whether it be Houston, Bryan College Station, Killeen. And our closest Family Link office to them is in Austin. And so that really, you know, that warms my heart to think that these, you guys and all these other families want to be with Family Link, and it's worth the drive. It's worth choosing an agency that's main location is out of town. But then once you do, we come to you, don't we? So we come to you for the placement. We come to you for the monthly visits with the children, and then you can always use our 800 number and talking to you on the phone, making sure they go to the doctor and dentist and all that stuff. So once you make that choice, we do make it as easy as possible, but I'm just impressed that people actually make that initial choice. So when you decided, okay, we're going to take the time for training, and I remember not only did you come to training, but we happened to have that series of training even further from you because we had it the last time in San Marcos at Promised Land San Marcos. So you're probably like, man, I was going to drive to Austin, but now I'm driving to San Marcos. But that just showed how committed you were. So you said, well, what's another 45 minutes to an hour? I'm going.
That's exactly what our thought pattern was. My husband and I, we were like, well, do we want to wait till the next training or do we want to go now? And we both kind of looked at each other and it was like, no, we're going to go now, even though it's a little bit farther. And it really wasn't that bad of a drive. And we had a lot of time to, you know, visit with each other while we drove down and get to know each other's feelings, you know, about the foster care and adoption more so, because, you know, when you're in, every day he goes to work, he gets home in the evening, we have supper, we bathe, and we go to bed pretty much. So we had talked about it in passing, but we weren't really able to get on the same page about it until we were driving down to the trainings. And I really think God worked that out, because he gave us that extra time to be with each other.
Oh, that's awesome. And I bet when you showed up and you found out there were several families who drove all the way from Houston to San Marcos to attend Family Link training, you thought, huh, well, actually, I didn't come from all that far.
That's so. Exactly. We were like, wait, well, yeah, we're closer than you guys. You guys win.
Exactly. But I'm so glad you did come. And if you hadn't, things would be different for many children's lives. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Y'all are listening to Life Matters on the Word, 98.5 and 99.3. Come back and we're going to hear some great things with these beautiful little children and some advice that Jamie would give those who are considering fostering or adopting or even just supporting. And also, if you're interested in trying something that I'm using, in fact, I've got it on right now, but you can check out Mariah Wilde, W-I-L-D-E, .CRSCIEAURA.com. What that is a little holographic chip. It doesn't put anything into your body, but it can really help with sleep, pain, or mental energy and clarity. And I use the third one because I'm going nonstop. In fact, the last few nights I've only had 5 hours of sleep. So in the morning I wake up and I go, I am definitely making sure my chip is on to help me so we can help all these wonderful children. So once again, if you want to check it out, that's mariahwilde.ciara.com. We'll be right back.
Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see.
Laura M. Stevens and Associates. Laura's been my CPA for a long time. I can't tell you how much money she saved me, both in filing and preparing my income tax and in giving me the kind of direction for my little business that we all need, whether it's you as an individual, you as the owner or manager of a business or a practice. Laura M. Stevens can be worth her weight in gold to you. They're honest. They have the highest integrity. They've been in practice for over 25 years. So they know how to do it, and they do it with integrity. They save you time. They save you headaches. They save you hassle. They take off your back so many of the onerous chores that keep you from growing your business. You call Laura M. Stevens and Associates at 306-1299. That's 306-1299. Call them today. Laura M. Stevens and Associates, add to your bottom line.
Matt Emmons was stunned. The year was 2004. He held a commanding lead in the 50-meter Olympic rifle final. Honing to dead center of the target, he gently squeezed the trigger. The bullet pierced the bullseye. He was sure he'd just won his second Olympic gold medal. Then, wait a minute, no score appeared. Matt gestured to the officials. Was there some malfunction with the target? No, the judges said, no malfunction. Matt Emmons had aimed precisely and hit the target one lane over. His score was zero. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. Even Olympian skills fail the competitor who is focused on the wrong target. Make sure you're aiming for the right goals in the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
KLGO, Thorndale, Austin. Direct from Advanced Dental Care Studios, you're listening to The Word, 99.3 and 98.5. Information with inspiration.
Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see.
Hi, welcome back to Life Matters. This is your host, Mariah Wilde, and I am so glad to be with y'all tonight. We had a shaky beginning with the electricity out and things like that, but we are back on track. And I'm really enjoying getting to visit with one of our awesome foster families from the Killeen area. Welcome back, Jamie.
Thank you, Mariah.
So we left off, and there you were in training, and you drove a couple of hours to come to our training, which we greatly appreciate. What are some things that you remember that you learned?
I think the biggest thing that I remember was the training on child development and the different stages that they're supposed to reach at what ages. And I think the reason why I remember that so much is because that is one of the things that we are dealing with our foster children, is the development. So,
kind of learning if there are certain areas you need to work in, certain areas that they need to be caught up in, things like that.
Right.
Okay. That's awesome. What else do you remember?
Let's see. We had, They did so much during those 2 days that it was hard to retain everything. But we had training on, you know, how to give them their medications properly. Mm-hmm. Goodness gracious.
I know. I'm putting you on the spot. It's okay. It'll come to you later. We do a lot of training on what the children have gone through and how to help their hearts heal. And, you know, there really isn't a magic bullet. It really is just love. Love is the magic bullet. And it's amazing. Sometimes we see them and they're just changed. Even within a few days, you can see the light in their eyes. You know, you can just see their smiles. Other children, they've been through even more and it takes longer. But it really all does boil down to love. And sometimes we want something faster than love. It's like, well, that's going to be about it. There's things you can add to, you know, there's things you can do. Behavior management programs and reward programs. And we do train on those things. But, you know, if you really don't love the children as if they were your own, none of the other stuff's going to work. Because then they won't feel secure and they won't feel a part of your family.
Right.
And so that's something I know your kids don't ever have to worry about. Because I can already see that you very much love them.
I do.
What was it like when they first came? So we called you. They were separated, which is awful. And then they were going to come together. So when you opened the door, tell us what happened. What did you see?
You know, it was just the most amazing experience of my life. I, of course, you know, I'm an over-emotional person, so I cried a lot. But we were completely surprised because, you know, we got the call about them, but the caseworker didn't really have any information on them, didn't know their race. Even the sexes of the children, they kind of got them mixed up. And so we really didn't know what was coming to us. And, you know, we opened the door, and their caseworker was at the door, and he was like, I could really use some help getting them out of the car. So we ran to the car, and, you know, one by one, he started unloading them, and my heart just leapt for joy, and I was like, I am so in love with these children already. I don't even know who they are. I don't know, you know, I didn't know at the time exactly where they had come from or what their experiences had been. And I was just like, and I just swept them all up in my arms and gave them the biggest hug and told them how much I loved them. And I could see that they were excited to all be together. And they came in the house and they went straight to the toy box and started playing, and, you know, I got on the floor with them and showed them different toys and what they did, and it was just probably the most magical moment of my life, aside from Mary and my husband, of course.
Oh, my goodness, that's amazing. And so tell everybody, so who you saw. So there was a little seven-month-old baby, is that right, seven-month-old baby boy?
Yes. I call him Little Man.
Little man, it was so cute when you got to our house on Saturday. There you were with him in the little front pack, and he looked so comfy, and that left your arms free for the other kids. It was really cute. And so then who's next? Let's tell everybody the ages.
Okay, we have Little Man, he's 7 months. And then we have our Daddy's Girl, and she is 21 months. We have our Firecracker. And he is 32 months. He'll be 3 in October.
Oh, okay.
And then we have my sweet boy. He's my helper, and he is 3.5 and will be 4 in November.
So they are quite close in age. So really you have four children under 3.5, not just four children under 4, four children under 3.5.
Yes.
And they're so beautiful. I mean, really all of our family children are beautiful, but we're talking about yours, and they are extremely precious. So to tell us a little bit like kind of about their personality and little things about the kids, each one.
Okay, well, little man, he is just full of energy. He's crawling now, so he's into everything. And he's clingy, and he wants mama all the time, and he likes to be rocked. He's a cuddle bug.
But you love that.
Yes, I do. he's very joyful, though. He's happy. He's talking all the time. And
he's definitely not behind, because
day by day, so his personality is still, you know, obviously still developing because he's so young, but he is just a ball of joy. He really is.
Oh, and what about your little girl?
A little girl, she is all smiles all the time. It doesn't matter what's going on. I go to get her out of bed in the morning, and the first thing I see when I turn on her light is this huge smile. And she greets me with the biggest hug and just smiles and smiles and smiles. And, of course, you know, her age being 21 months, she likes to be a little rambunctious at times. And even when you tell her, no, that we're not supposed to touch that, she'll turn around and smile at you.
Yep.
She's just a really, really happy girl, and she just constantly makes me smile, because seeing her smile makes me smile. And
you had her dressed so cute, her hair like in kind of little pigtails.
Yes.
She has little curly hair. She's so cute. I love that smile. She smiled at me. Yeah, you're right. It does. It makes your heart smile, doesn't it?
It does.
And so then you have the two little boys. So we have one's 2.5.
Yep.
And I cannot believe they are very, very, very close in age. They're probably about as close in age as you can get, I would guess.
Yes, so. They are 10 months apart.
Goodness.
The oldest and the second, 10 months between the second and the third. And then between the third and the fourth, there's a little over 12 months.
Oh, they're far apart.
Yeah.
And so tell us about your next to youngest son.
Next to youngest, I call him Firecracker. He is, he's a ball of energy, and he's just in and out of everything. He's very curious, and he wants to learn, and he wants to climb on the couch and jump and climb on the top bunk of the bunk bed and try to swing from the curtains.
You're like, that's all things like Donovan likes to do, though, too. And he's only 16 months. So he's like, you're 2.5. Calm down. Yes, that's a fun age. And he's a sweet boy. Oh, my goodness.
Is.
He has that little cutest little face. And I got to spend time with him. And he was just playing. And, he really touched my heart.
He's a blessing. He keeps me on my toes, but I think I needed one like that.
Well, really, I don't know any 2-year-old that doesn't, and frankly, I don't even know any 1-year-old that doesn't. I think 3 starts to get a little bit easier, but when they're 1 and 2, they're kind of wild and crazy usually. And that's why people might call it the terrible 2s, but we don't think so. We think they're the terrific 2s. Just because a kid gets in everything and gets on the table like Donovan, or throws all his food off of his high chair like Donovan, and gets into every single thing and runs with it. As soon as he grabs something he knows he shouldn't have, he runs as fast as he can. And their legs are so short, I just wonder, how on earth can you run that fast? I mean, I have a hard time catching up. So he's only 1. He's already, so we're thinking the 2s should be much easier. But yeah, that's the terrific 2s. You know, they're exploring, they're learning. even biological children are like that, not to mention if they've come from no structure and no training. And so, but I know I saw you with him and you love him very much. And then now, what about your oldest little guy?
Yeah.
Your 3.5-year-old.
I tell everybody, he's like, and this is my oldest, and he's still a baby, but
I know he
I
is
call
a baby.
My boy.
Oh.
And the reason why is because he is just very loving. He wants to, he's like my little man. He wants to be in my arms all the time, and he wants to please me all the time. He helps me fold the laundry at 3.5, believe it or not.
Oh, that's cute. It's like a little activity
for
him.
He helps me clean up the toys before dinner time. He's just very, very sweet and loving.
He wants to be doing what you're doing.
Yes.
And it's fun for them when they're that age. You know, it's not like when they're 10, they're like, I don't want to.
Yes.
He's like Donovan, he likes to help do the laundry and all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, that's real helpful when you're one, but okay. We'll be right back. We have to take a quick break. Y'all are listening to Life Matters and the Word 98.5 and 99.3. Check us out at familylinkkids.com. And for updates, friend me on Facebook at Mariah Wilde Family Link. We'll be right back.
Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see.
The best age for your child to learn to read is during the first 5 years of life. Kathleen discovered this fact firsthand.
A friend of ours recommended the Your Baby Can Read series when we had our first child, Jacob. Never thought anything of it. We plopped him down in front of it.
Your Baby Can Read worked amazingly well.
When Jacob was 3 years old, he was reading at second grade level. He turned 5 in July, went to kindergarten, and in 3 weeks he was moved to first grade.
Kathleen knows it's no coincidence.
Because we have 3 children and all are reading on a high level. School was very easy. Straight A students, maybe 1 or 2 children, but all 3, probably a successful video. So bam, it worked.
Would Kathleen recommend the program for your child?
Your Baby Can Read definitely gives them a life skill that can never be taken away from them. It's been invaluable.
For a limited time, you can receive a completely risk-free trial of the Your Baby Can Read program. Call now and we'll also include 3 free learning gifts with your risk-free trial.
Call 800-790-7570. 800-790-7570. 800-790-7570.
He'd spent 5 dull gray days at the desk and Saturday was finally here. As the red gold sun rose, so did David. He'd been looking forward to this all week long. He wanted to get out. He wanted to explore. But as he was pulling his yellow truck out of the driveway, he heard it make a strange, almost squeaky kind of noise. Well, after hours in the garage, black smudges, sweat, and tools everywhere,
Davey.
Mommy calls.
Davey, put your toys away. Time for dinner.
David Wastrick's experience with cars began long before he ever opened up Northwest Imports.
I've been wanting to tinker with cars long before I could drive. I probably was fixing things on cars and rebuilding things on cars when I was probably 12 or 13 years old.
It's David's love of cars, his honesty and commitment to serving you. Those are just a few reasons to trust your foreign car to Northwest Imports. Visit him on the web at nwimports.com or call David at 331-7372. That's 331-7372. Ask him if he ever did manage to fix that Tonka.
Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see.
Welcome back to Life Matters. This is Mariah, your host, and I'm so glad to be with y'all tonight. And I'm excited to be visiting with one of our newer, although not newest, because we have had, actually in the last few weeks since you've had the children, we've had lots of other new families get children, which has been, it's been an amazing June. I don't know if you heard me in the beginning, but so far in June, I need to check, but I believe we have so far placed 52 children, and the
wow.
month isn't even over. And that's just the month of June. Isn't that amazing? So I'm very proud of our families who said yes to children and our staff. It's been very, very busy, but it's been an incredible busy. It's amazing to love these children and to find them homes and then to get to meet them. It's just, wow. It's my dream come true. And I know this is your dream come true. You wanted to be a mom. You wanted to be a foster and or adoptive mom. And so sometimes when you look at them, do you just kind of want to pinch yourself like, oh my gosh, it's actually happening. I'm in the middle of it.
I do sometimes. I'm like, I got to pinch myself. I got to wake up from the dream because it was my lifelong dream to be a mother probably since I was like 5 years old and I was old enough to play with baby dolls.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I say our journey began 12 and a half years ago when my little sister came into my life. But also when we found out that we were infertile, that's what made the icing on the cake and what caused us to go ahead and act now. And I didn't think that I would ever be a mom, and then now I'm a mom to four, and it's the greatest gift ever.
Wow. So what would you say to somebody listening who's just going, oh, I don't know, you know, I'm not sure, I can't really imagine having four. You know, how could you encourage them? Because you did it. You just kind of jumped off. I have to say something. Your husband said something really funny on Saturday. Somebody said, oh, my gosh, four at once for your first time parenting. And he said, you know, it's kind of like swimming. Don't just put your toe in. Jump all the way in. And he said, we just jumped in, and we love it.
Yes.
That's awesome. Yes. So what would you say to encourage people?
Don't let your fear stand in the way. There are going to be so many things that that Satan would put in your path, doubts. You would doubt your own ability, and fear that you wouldn't be able to do a good job with that many or even just one.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say pray, and if you feel the Spirit leading you, do it, because it's the most rewarding experience you will ever have in your life.
Oh, that's awesome. And then, you know, if somebody's listening and they are infertile and cannot have children, or maybe they have had, you know, one or two children, you know, you have already fallen in love. So what can you say to somebody that says, gosh, I just don't know, but would I really love them? Could I love them as my own? Well, you're in the middle of doing it. What could you tell them about that?
The moment that they walk through your door, you see them as your own. They automatically become yours. And even if they aren't with you permanently, I truly believe it will be the same, you know, the same feeling. They become yours. You're there to love them and nurture them, and it just comes naturally. It's automatic.
And so, yeah, and it's even, you're saying, even if it's temporary, even if it's foster care, what's what we teach our families? Love them as if they were your own. And if you're struggling with that and in the natural, then you say, God, would you help me? Would you give me a love for these children, your love? Because for you, it came naturally. And for, I think, most of our families, it does. But sometimes they come to you and it's really just like, oh my gosh, it's my dream. But really, these are children I don't know. I've got to figure out their schedule tonight. You know, people can get kind of caught up in the logistics.
Right.
Yes, you do have to do that. But really, just you've got to go, oh my gosh, this is a privilege. This is an amazing privilege to care for and love these hurting children and to see their little faces and their eyes light up and change, to know that they're safe today, whereas last night they were being abused and maybe even given drugs or their parents doing drugs. You know, terrible things happen to the children that we find homes for. And so when we place them with a safe, loving home, that's amazing. I mean, I think it's a miracle. It is a miracle and a privilege to do what we do. And I think it's important that our family, we who do it, keep that in mind, but then our families keep that in mind, and I know that you definitely do. You will never take these children for granted. You will probably appreciate every single day you have with them. Is that right?
Oh, yes.
And share with us a little bit more about their background. Like, why did they come into foster care without saying any actual names?
They came into foster care because they were, the oldest was abused. And the rest of them were severely neglected.
Like, what do you mean by that? People sometimes go, well, what does that mean? Like, what do you think that means for the, in their case?
They did not have any, I would say they probably just didn't have any attention from their parents. I know that, you know, the state had tried to work with them for more than a year, giving them family services, and trying to, you know, to help them improve their lifestyle so that their children could stay with them, and they were non-compliant. So the state, you know, didn't have a choice. They had to get the kids out so that they would be okay.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that they tried to work with them for a year, keeping them in the home, and sometimes they'll have them go to classes, or, you know, they'll do things while they're trying to keep children in the home, and removing them is really the last resort. So I would imagine some pretty bad things happened towards the end, or they wouldn't have been removed. And do they cry a lot? Have they gone through that yet?
My firecracker cries a lot at night.
Yeah.
The rest of them, I think it was pretty automatic for them. I think they felt safe right away because they knew that we weren't going to let anything happen to them.
Right.
And they're all doing very well. But I do have my second to the oldest. He cries a lot at night.
Yeah, and at nighttime, usually sometimes when bad things happen to the kids, and then it's also when you feel sadder, and especially sad when you don't want to go to sleep, and it makes everything worse.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when you just have to hold him and rock him, and I know you're doing that. Speaking of crying, I think I heard somebody in the background wants their mama.
Yes, so, that was my firecracker, actually.
You're like, mama's coming, she's sharing with people. And so I'm so happy you've spent this evening with us, and I know you've got a lot more to share. And you're going to be getting more and more experience, and we want to have you back on the show, as well as your husband. And he'll have some awesome things to share. So I'm just so grateful that you are a Family Link family, that you're loving these children, that you're keeping them together. God bless you. I will say goodbye to you as we finish out the show so you can go, speaking of loving all those kids, go give them all a big old hug for me.
I will.
And comfort them and rescue your wonderful, incredible husband.
I will.
And so I will talk to you soon. Thanks, Jamie.
Thank you.
For the rest of you, I am so glad that you've been with us tonight. Gosh, you know, we may have some other children come in this evening. Things are happening. When you say, God, here's my entire life, use me. You know, I don't want to live an ordinary life. I want to live an extraordinary life. That's what our family prayed, and that's what I prayed. And that is how Family Link started. And now we have placed around 600 children. And then we're just escalating because the amount of children that need homes. But then also the amount of families who are saying yes to children is increasing. And we're so appreciative of that. Oh, my goodness gracious. I love those kids. And, you know, for those of you who'd like to be mentors or volunteers, you could have the opportunity to come and spend time on one of our retreat days. And then you could meet Jamie and meet her four little children and meet the Saez family with their 10 kiddos and some of our other families that are always faithful and excited to come. And then, of course, our new families and new kids that we're placing almost every day at this point. So all kinds of ways that you can be a blessing, all kinds of ways that you can partner with Family Link. And I'd love to hear from you. Email me at mariah@familylinkkids.com. And, you know, I know some people that just go, gosh, Mariah, I would love to do more, but I'm so tired, or I just don't have enough energy. And so that's one of the reasons why I've started doing what I am doing, which you can check out, mariahwildea.com. If you're either having pain, having trouble sleeping, or just feel like you need a little more mental energy and clarity, check it out. It's amazing. It's been able to help a lot of people I know, including myself, who I know very well. And sometimes I think we've got to be able to operate at our peak. We've got to be able to feel good and to get rest so that we can then move on and to change other people's destiny because we're giving our all. God bless you tonight. I look forward to being back with you tomorrow night. Do not miss it. We have a special guest. You've been listening to Life Matters in the Word, 98.5 and 99.3. Check us out at familylinkkids.com.
Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see.